All right, slight interruption in service due to Robert being called away on important Fish and Frank's business, but we're back. It was much longer for me than it was for you. We are still in Gasparilla Sound. I was talking about what we were seeing. Robert's about to tell you what he's been hearing right now.
So behind the Three Sisters, they've been getting some trout. And then over in Widden Bay, they'd be getting a lot of trout, ladyfish, some Spanish mackerel. And along the bushes, some snook, a few redfish, and some sheep's head. Kind of a good mixed bag of stuff throughout that whole area.
Okay.
Even a few bonnethead sharks being seen, a couple other bigger sharks being seen. Is it amazing? No, but is it pretty darn good? Yes. And once again, a couple of those reports were guys from this past week where it was still cooler, so it was late afternoon bite, got better. And I don't know if that's a combination of the cold water or traffic slowing down.
Right.
But several of those reports came from the Inglewood Fishing Club guys. He emails them to me every couple of weeks, which is cool.
Okay, so it could be a little bit of both.
One was fresh from actually yesterday. He sent it to me this morning, so I saw it this morning before we came in. And the one guy, two guys, nothing but paddle tails. That's all they were throwing was shad tails.
Nice.
Yeah.
Loves me some shad tails.
Mm-hmm.
How about Placida, the pier, the trestle, the Coral Creek pier in Gasparilla Pass?
Oh, lots of sheep's head. Well, not lots of sheep's head, but quite a few sheep's head. They've been getting some snook at night there, some slot-sized fish at night. A guy did catch a bull red there, all on shrimp. And then another guy did catch a legal snook on a pinfish that he managed to sabiki right there next to the, right at the beginning of the pier. And there has been a handful of Spanish mackerel being caught here and there. Not consistently, just nice incidental bycatch.
Okay.
So, not bad. Not great. Haven't heard of any boater fishermen right there. Too many people on spring break hanging out at the sandbar and partying it up.
No, I totally get that.
It's good for watching, but not fun for fishing.
Yeah. Depends what you want to watch.
Idiots. That's yeah. The fun part.
Yeah, everybody watch this. Hold my beer.
Lemon Bay, Stump Pass, Indian Mound Park, associated areas.
Got nothing for in there.
Because your Lemon Bay fishermen went further south.
Yep, they all came over towards this end. Unfortunately.
Okay. The Anger Pier.
Spanish mackerel. A guy got a couple Spanish mackerel off of there. And the he got one bonnet head. His buddy got one sheep's head. A hand-sized pinfish. And I think it was him or another guy that actually got a couple trout off of there. So it's finally a report for there. Trying to remember if it was him or his buddy. I can't remember. Because I've had two different people tell me about the fishing, but I know one guy did tell me that he did lousy.
Gotcha.
It's hard to keep track sometimes.
Now
I'm old.
At the Venice Jetties, the Cook brothers were telling me that the pompano reports have been pretty good up there.
Yeah.
Not everybody's getting them, but the guys who were getting them, I mean, somebody was catching limits in half hour, 40 minutes. So when they're good, they're good.
Yeah.
When they're not, they're not.
They're schooling fish, so when they're in there, they're stacked good. Been a few sheep's head in there, too. And then one guy did catch a shark fishing off of there the other day. He had a very, very lousy picture of it in the water. I couldn't tell if it was a black tip or a bull, but he said it was about 4 feet long.
Okay.
And that's all I got there. No snook, no nothing else.
All right, then let's run it offshore. Okay. Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks.
Spanish mackerel from Venice all the way down to Sanibel. From the passes out to 7-8 miles. Snapper, grunts, porgies. all within 15 miles. Lots of sheep's head. I mean, a lot of sheep's head. And I was wrong on that with the sheep's head that was 23 inches. He caught three that were 25.
What?
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. I gotta go back and find the picture.
Jeez.
But, he did well. Yeah, 25 inch.
Wow.
I don't know if I've ever seen one that big.
I mean, yeah, that's a good size sheepy, so.
Yeesh.
Yeah. But they ended up catching three that size and a bunch of other ones. People are seeing some kings. I got one guy that did catch a 36-inch king trolling between Tremblay and Power Pole Reef. So he was 7 to 8 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a couple other free jumpers out there. He said that there's bait balls as you go south from the power poles heading down towards the school bus reef.
Okay.
And a buddy of his was telling him that there's a bunch of bait down towards the Mohawk and out in that vicinity. And he had a couple friends that have hooked kings out there. The grouper fishing's been terrible. The one customer went to the Mohawk the other day when it was supposed to only be ones and twos. He said it was 3 to 4.5s. He said it was lousy, miserable getting out there. But he said coming back was a real nice ride. It was only 1 to 2s. But they did get some mangs. One legal red grouper. My other buddy's catching all gag grouper in all of his red grouper spots at 30 miles out. He said he can't catch a legal red grouper to save his life. All of his red grouper spots have just got gags on them.
Interesting.
I'm like, that's pretty funny. He's like, I catch a lot of little guys. He says, but I find an illegal red grouper. I haven't caught a legal red grouper in a month and a half.
So when they reopen past 120 feet on April 1st,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to give us a better shot at some of those fish.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, so many people are fishing inside and doing fairly well on them, but you know, the wind's been the factor. It's been so hard to get out there. It's been tough. I mean, my frozen order bait this week was, I think, 12 boxes instead of, like, 28.
Gotcha.
There's hardly anybody managed to get out with that wind last week with the cold and the wind. It's just not fun.
Okay. Punta Rasa, no reports until further notice. Redfish Pass, no reports until further notice. Unless,
not a,
do you have further notice?
I have nothing.
Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass, a guy hooked a tarpon in there.
Okay, one guy hooked one tarpon, so well, the tarpon bite is on.
No, he saw a couple fish roll the day before, went back out there, had his tarpon gear with him this time. He's like, I should have known better. But he went back in there. He fished all around there, catching snook, a few trout right around the vicinity of there, and then saw a couple fish roll in the pass, went back out there, threw a big pinfish, and hooked one. He said it was about an 80-pounder. He said it was a fairly dark fish. He said it was real silver on the side, but he said the back was real, real dark. So he's thinking it was probably a resident fish.
Okay.
He didn't see anything on the side scan, bottom machine, nothing. He just drifted it. That's what he ended up doing.
But it takes a little luck.
Yeah.
All right. How about Boca Grand Pass?
Spanish mackerel, a few mangrove snapper, sheep's head. Guys are seeing a couple of tarpon here and there. A couple of the night guys, like, what's his name? Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
He's actually been catching a few at night out there.
Okay. Captain Sandy Melvin.
Yep. It's been hit or miss, but he has been catching a few. And those are all resident fish. I'm sure there's a couple oddball migratory fish that have showed up, but they're just not in there with any consistency where if you're excited and you want to go, go. But don't make yourself crazy and say, well, there was no fish there and they said they were supposed to be here. No, they're scattered in there.
So it's not quite tarpon time yet.
Not quite. I think we're still going to be right on the money with that 3 to 4 weeks out.
Okay.
Because I know we got, I mean, look at that massive front up north that's going through up there right now with tornadoes and all sorts of other garbage. I know we've got one more front coming with the next moon.
We'll see.
It'll be minor, but it's always just enough to kick it back.
All right. Walking the Gulf beaches, Sanibel to Venice, anywhere along that Gulf shoreline. What are we hearing?
Stump Pass and Boca Grande Pass are the only two reports I've gotten. Spanish mackerel, sheep's head, jacks, a couple of snook, one one pompano. That's it.
Okie dokie. Now, in all of this intercoastal and offshore stuff, we haven't mentioned anything about red tide. Do we have any red tide to report?
One guy was going on a Stump Pass the other day, and he said he headed north towards Minnesota and hit a little patch where he was feeling that tickle in his throat, but he said it was very brief. And that's the only report that I've gotten from somebody that actually knows what red tide is.
Gotcha.
The other two reports are people who have never dealt with it before, and we're talking about the smell out there at Inglewood Beach and Stump Pass.
So, which can be a lot of things.
Yeah, it could be the dead rotting fish. It could have been a dead manatee up in the mangroves. Who knows?
I mean, it can even be dead seagrass that's washed up on the beach and is rotting. I've had people tell me, oh, that smell, that low tide smell, it's the red tide.
Yeah.
It ain't.
Yeah. But, yeah, I believed him. But everyone else has been going out on the beach. They're seeing bait fish moving out there. They're catching fish right along the beach. So, yeah, it's pretty much done for the moment.
For the moment.
Definitely the moment.
Could change.
It's temporary.
As we go by, we could be talking about red tide again next week. We're not saying it's over out there, but...
Is it temporary in a gnat's life, or is it temporary in a tortoise's life? Two totally different temporaries, but it's still temporary.
Yep, but we have a reprieve for the time being.
Yes.
As we report this right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Your results may vary. Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay.
Bunch of trout. The guy did also catch a couple of redfish. And one of my reps caught a few snook and redfish down there. He didn't catch any of the trout that his buddy wanted to catch. But they managed to catch a couple snook and redfish.
Okay. Well, that's not terrible.
Compared to the last several weeks of reports for down there? Yeah. That's not bad.
Well, I can deal with that. The north end of Pine Island Sound. Anybody been down there?
North end of Pine Island Sound. No, I got nothing for there.
Okay.
A couple guys went down there looking for tarpon.
We actually
feedback.
We actually went to go there. That was our plan. Mm-hmm. But because we had that east wind that was a little bit stronger than we thought it was going to be, that's why we ended up where we ended up. Because I wanted to show them a grass flat where the water was a little bit deeper.
There you go.
So, but, you know, after we fished there for 15, 20 minutes, it really started to settle down. And then I was showing them how the wind can drift you, and suddenly the wind wasn't drifting us anymore. So
nice.
We probably could have gone down that way and done just fine.
Right.
Oh, well. Jug Creek Shoal and Bokalia.
I got nothing there. A couple guys went down there and got some pinfish and a little bit of whitebait, but they struggled to find whitebait.
Okay. Burnt Store and Two Pines. To Two Pines.
Snook, redfish. All on the bushes, even a few out on the flats there and up on top of the bar. And then there's been trout, some ladyfish. The guy skipped a couple of pompano and ended up catching a bonnet head instead.
Okay.
what else? That's it. But yeah, he skipped the pompano as he was running along there and turned back around. Started casting, and dunk, oh, hey, got excited for about 5 seconds. Then, wait a minute, it's world record pompano, maybe. No, it's a 30-inch bonnet head. But it was his first bonnet head he's ever caught on an artificial because he was just throwing a silly jig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Well, hey, not complaining.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
I hope not.
No.
East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
Let's see, that's been a weird one this week with people. had one guy that did really good coming out of Burnt Store there. He fished from Burnt Store to about a mile north of Pirate Harbor. And he got some trout, two legal redfish, and like six short snook. But then his buddy went out the same day, like afternoon, saw half a dozen redfish, caught a half a dozen snook, and that was it. And he worked really hard. He said he was out there for like 5 hours. So, and then a couple other people, same thing I'm hearing from them, seeing some fish, but not catching anything compared to what they're seeing.
What do you suppose the deciding factor is?
Clarity. I think that's a huge part of it. I think that water temperature dumped so hard, that definitely screwed things up a little bit, but I think the water clarity is the number one factor, and then the temperature is the number two.
So the determining factor is probably how sneaky you can be?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Let's take it up to Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
Let's see, Alligator Creek, jacks, and snook. And that is it. That's all I've gotten for anywhere in that vicinity.
Okay. Juan Ponce de Leon Park in Punta Gorda.
A couple undersized snook. One guy supposedly got busted for trying to poach a snook there.
Good.
Happened to be an off-duty cop or something, supposedly, from a customer telling me. Been a few jacks and a couple of black drum coming through. One guy did see a bunch of sheep's head under the dock, and when he went out front over towards the Peace River Wildlife Refuge, he said he saw some sheep's head over along that shoreline and crossing the flats. He was going to go back out there today with some fiddler crabs. That's what he was just buying a couple hours ago before you got here.
Okay.
Well, he was half tempted to take his bow, which that reminds me. He was half tempted to take his bow down there. And I don't know if that law still exists for Punta Gorda, because I know it's no spearing or bow fishing in PGI proper, the way Castnet law is. Because I don't think that they changed that or not with when they changed the ban in Charlotte Harbor.
So, as far as I know, the spearfishing ban in Charlotte Harbor was the one law that affected that.
I thought there wasn't a separate one
for PGI, but I could be wrong about that. You know, I'm not an expert on the PGI ordinances, and looking them up online is not the easiest thing in the world.
No, I'm sure it's not.
You would think it would be relatively simple.
No, it's government.
But
let's keep the pier closed.
Yeah. Finding what you want in those ordinances is not as easy as it really ought to be.
Okay.
So I don't know of any particular law that would prevent him from doing that. Yeah,
I wasn't sure, so I just told him to be cautious just in case, because I wasn't 100% sure on that one.
I would have to sit down and research that.
Something in my brain was saying that I don't think he can, but I said that was 10 years ago at least, so I can't remember yesterday, so
right,
not positive.
Okay, well, I wish I had an answer, but I don't.
He was taking fiddler crabs, so he's going to fish anyway, so it doesn't matter. But maybe we can look it up sometime.
Well, not right now, because we're going to talk about the PGI canals and what's been going on in there.
Oh, let's see. Some big jacks, some legal snook, a couple of black drum, some mangrove snapper, and, of course, those pesky little tarpon rolling all over the place, just to make you crazier. Nothing super exceptional. Pegleg's been catching a few legal snook in there with some of his charters. And another gentleman, he's caught, I think, four legal snook off of his dock. He only kept one because he's never eaten them before. He said he really, really enjoyed it. It lived up to his hype. But he said he's eaten so many walleye and perch over the years that it kind of... I really want to kill another one just because of that?
Yeah.
He said it was good, but thought that was kind of a cool way to put it.
Well, that's where it is. It's good, but it's not, you know, it's not a life-changing experience to eat a snook.
glow comes over you.
The heavens
as you eat
do
it.
Not open up. You don't wear a halo for a week and a half afterwards.
You're going to live forever if you eat a snook.
You're going to eat it. It's going to taste all right. And then later you're going to go to the bathroom just like usual. The Gilchrist Pier. No reports till summer. Is that still true?
It's closed.
Oh, right. It's closed.
See?
Yeah, we talked about that. I knew that I was going to totally forget that.
Yeah. It's all right. If you got to remember some things, that means you got to forget something else. So,
what do you think I forgot?
I don't want to know.
It could have been almost anything.
It's like a guy asked me yesterday about the price of two different things, and I'm like, I'm not going to memorize the price of that, because if I do, then I'm going to have to forget something else that's much more important, like maybe my name.
Now, is this closure due to hurricane damage?
Supposedly, there's several boards missing off of it and other structure to it.
Okay. Then I'm just going to take out all these other things.
And taking a drive over to Punta Gorda just to go look at the docks, I'm not going to do that. But I will the next time we go over to Punta Gorda. I'm just not going to go out of my way to go check that pier.
Gotcha. Tell me about the Alligator Creek Reef.
Especially with traffic. Alligator Creek Reef. Few sheep's head.
Keeper sheep's head or little ones?
Mostly little.
Okay.
Obvious Goliath grouper. One guy caught like six of them, and his buddy was telling him they were gags, but he ended up arguing with them and let them all go. He said there's no way. Which was cool.
Uh-huh.
But turned out, gags. He showed me the picture. I'm like, nope, definitely Jewfish.
Gags are closed anyway.
Yeah. I know, but it was still, he's just arguing with them, no. A couple of short cobia. One guy did catch like four Spanish mackerel trolling back and forth through there. He said it was not busy at all. He said he got two or three of them on the very middle area. And then I think it was one down towards the southern end. He did see a lot of little fry bait on his fish finder. And he only knows it was fry because at one point it came up to the surface. And that's when he hooked his Spanish mackerel after he drove through it.
Gotcha. How about the 20-foot holes? What's going on out there?
Zero, nothing, nada.
Zero, nothing, nada.
One guy swears he saw... what the hell did he say? Fin going through the water that he said it looked like a sailfish, the way he described it. And I'm like...
A sailfish?
I said, no, how high out of the water was it? He said, maybe 2 or 3 inches. He said, the way it was finning, though, and cutting, he kind of went like this with his hand, and I'm like, did you happen to see cow nose rays while you were out there? He's like, yeah, I came across a school of those while we were out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's probably what you were seeing was the wing tip or tips.
Yeah, that make way more sense.
And he's like,
to the sailfish.
Yeah, now I feel really dumb. I'm like, no. I said, don't. I said, I saw...
Everybody's made the mistake.
Yes, and I said, I saw a flying fish at the Cape Hayes Reef probably 20 years ago, a little school of them. I said, anything is possible, but highly unlikely with a lot of stuff, too. I said, but I've seen weirder stuff, so
we've all seen weird stuff, but you know what? I believe the pilot whale report over the sailfish report.
Yes.
In the 20-foot hole.
So do I. So do I.
All right, that brings us to the baitfish report. What do we got?
Very tough to find. It is out there around Marker 2. It has been down there by Boquilla, but it's been very inconsistent. Some of the guys are getting out like... literally at 4 o'clock in the morning and throwing in the dark, trying to get bait.
Yeah.
Which I think is just ludicrous. Just nuts, I tell you, nuts.
It's tough. But we are seeing some small bait
mm-hmm.
at the surface. We're mm-hmm. seeing it scattered all over the place, seeing it up the river, seeing it in the 20-foot holes, seeing it as you cruise down the harbor, seeing it out towards Placidas, seeing it out in the Gulf.
Right. But is it... is it the white bait that the people want, or is it something completely different?
It's probably something completely different.
Right. That would be my guess.
Talk about something while I type, would you?
I don't know. What would you like to talk about?
You need to talk about something. Sing okay. a song. Well, a limerick? You got a joke? A clean one?
No. I don't. Absolutely no. Well, and let's talk about the white bait for a second, because when I was just coming back in here, I got interrupted by a gentleman asking about cast nets. And he was talking about, because he was in here a couple weeks ago and telling me about how he lost his cast net. Came right off his wrist when he was throwing it. So he gets out there, and I was telling him about, you know, it's hard to get, and every year it gets harder, and it would be nice if these people, I think captains are really, 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 really selfish when it comes to bait. But so are a lot of daily, weekly anglers, too. But I told him, I said, you know, it'd be nice if at the end of the day people would let it go back at the channel markers or just on the outside of the flats where it stands a chance to survive rather than taking it back to the boat ramp or back to their dock and dumping it out there where it stands no chance at all to survive. And he's like, yeah. He said, and that day that, he said, now you say that. I said, and I've done it. I've overloaded my live well and everything else, but 10 years ago I started to calm down on that because I started to see a pretty serious decline. And he's like, yeah, that day I threw that cast net off my wrist, there was another guy sitting there, and I don't know if he was a captain or who he was, but he watched it go off my wrist, and all I did was ask him, hey, would it be all right if you maybe give me some white bait once you get done? The guy's like, oh, yeah, I'll give you some white bait once I get done. He said his first throw, he got several hundred white bait, loaded up as well. Threw it five more times, loaded up the front well and the back well. And the guy said, I finally got sick of sitting there waiting for 15, 20 minutes while this guy loaded up both wells with several hundred baits in each one. He said, I finally just got disgusted and left. It's like, how much bait do you need?
All the bait.
Yeah, basically, you know, and it's like, how much bait do you really need? You know, it's just greedy and selfish, but let it go at the end of the day someplace where it survives, maybe. You know, like even Pegleg is starting to realize how bad it is. He was telling me he's actually having a little bit better success ratio with better quality fish. Instead of chumming, he's just hooking them onto a bobber or freelining them and casting them out.
Right.
He said he's using at least half the amount of bait that he used to, and he's catching better quality fish and about the same numbers of fish. So that's one charter captain that's starting to realize that, hey, don't need all that bait.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Let's go see what's happening in the freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, lakes, and whatever other freshwater bodies there are.
Bass are doing really good. A lot of 1 to 3 pound fish. The one guy lives up there by Lettuce Lake and fishes off of his buddy's backyard. And he caught a 5.5 pounder, I think it was.
Okay.
He caught that on just a little crankbait. But a lot of guys are buying shiners. Most of the guys are doing very well on shiners. Several guys have been catching some crappie. Two people. Between Justin yesterday, he caught 15 crappie over one of the canals by his house. He kept five. He said 3 of the 5 had eggs in them, so he was glad he didn't keep any more now because it bothered him, which is cool. The other guy, he got crappie over in some of the Northport canals. And then that other gentleman also caught several bluegill.
Okay.
And I didn't see pictures, so bluegill, sunfish,
something
other than a crappie. Because honestly, I mean, I know there's a lot of different species of sunfish and bluegill, and you're the master at recognizing them. I just call them a bluegill or a sunfish. Just kind of broad.
Well, they're hard for most people to tell apart.
Did you ever find out what that hybrid was?
I did not, no. Okay. I still think it's a hybrid. I think it's probably a hybrid of a red ear and a warmouth.
Okay.
Which is a weird hybrid to see.
Yeah.
You don't see many warmouth hybrids out there.
Let's send that out there and see if we can find out and have a longer discussion about it. It'd be kind of fun.
This brings us to the tarpon reports.
Yes.
Do we have any tarpon reports worth reporting?
No. No, you can just put on there, coming soon, very soon, Time to get excited and time to get prepared, but no, nothing consistent yet.
Now is the time to get your tarpon tackle?
Better, yes. And as long as it's taken to get it in when you're ordering it is terrible. It's like Frank asking me yesterday, well, where's this, this, and this? I said, well, that was ordered 3 weeks ago. That was ordered 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I ordered pen stuff 2.5, 3 weeks ago, and they called yesterday, and we were supposed to have two pallets, or day before yesterday, we were supposed to have two pallets delivered yesterday of pen stuff. Never showed.
Okay.
Yeah. At least it's shipped.
Hopefully. Well, it was shipped where?
I don't know. And then, like, star rods, I've had those on order for over 2 weeks, and those just came in yesterday. She's still got to check them in today. So, yeah. Maintenance orders. Can't get it done.
Fun.
Can't get it done.
All right. Do you have any words of wisdom that you'd like to close with? Any special message for your listening audience?
Be patient. The tarpon are coming. Just get ready for it. That's the main thing. That's all I can
really
say.
That's your closing message?
Well, you know, my closing message is be patient with us with the shrimp. It's kind of like we talk about time change sucks for everybody, but the chickens wake up the same, the cows wake up the same, well, shrimp wake up the same too. Shrimpers can't go out until an hour later to go try to start filling their quota because they catch them at night. So that means they're coming back to the docks later at night, which means they're getting in here later. So,
and you combine that with spring break and the higher demand.
Mm-hmm. It's been tough. I told a woman, I said, they'll be here shortly. And someone told her that we've been out of shrimp 5 days. You actually talked to her because you were taking them fishing.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure he probably came in 5 days in a row at first thing in the morning at 6:30 when we opened up, and we didn't have shrimp yet. So those 5 days in a row were probably what he was talking about,
right,
us being out of shrimp. Well, it's like, I'm sorry, your timing sucks. That's not 5 days without shrimp, just 5 days in a row of you coming in where
we didn't have the solution. You should just open an hour later.
Oh, yeah, sure. That would actually be easier. Really would. It would save so much headache. And it's usually just that 1% that just kind of makes you crazy.
Yeah. I get it.
But no, it works out. It's just got to be patient. It'll get better. Actually, no, it won't. It's going to be the same.
It's going to be exactly the same.
Yep.
You can wish it would get better. You can hope it would get better, but no, this is what we've got.
Yep, exactly.
Deal with the reality.
Yes.
Grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okie dokie, that's going to be it for this place-by-place fishing report. We will plan to do another one for you next week, but until then, say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.